Hey! How's it going, everybody? This is me getting to re-record this intro because, I deleted the last track. What can I say? I'm knocking the spider webs off my podcasting muscle here, okay? Okay? Anyway, listen, so if you didn't hear my sort of little audio rant the other night, I am getting this podcast going finally. I'm getting this thing going. Basically, the deal is that I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and I put it off for forever, really. I mean, it's probably been a couple of years since I had this idea basically to, just have, I don't even like to use the word interview, just have, casual, frank conversations with friends of mine in the game industry. About what they do, how they got there, there's going to definitely be some tips and things like that in here. So if you're here for, tips, that's cool. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, listening to this is going to help you get a job in the industry or anything crazy like that. But I mean, it might, I don't know. Anyway, I think ultimately, I've got some good things to say. I know a lot of people that have a lot of good things to say, so I'm hoping to pass some of that on to you guys, the listeners. Anyway, so what you're about to hear, I haven't heard this entire thing since we recorded it. So there are, there's no editing. This is a completely, unedited, fresh, just kind of thing for you to listen to. The deal for me right now, in case you haven't picked up on it, or you didn't hear my other thing from the other night, a couple nights ago, previous to this. I am doing this again to force myself to stop procrastinating on this project. So what you're going to hear, at least in the beginning, the audio quality isn't great, the format isn't great, and frankly, I don't give a shit. It's fine. My goal here is to get started and to start moving and building momentum. I'm enough of an audio geek where it's going to naturally improve, and probably sooner than later. But honestly, I'm not that concerned with it right now. I don't really care. I'm recording this part right now on my earbuds, the built-in mic on my earbuds. So that's why it sounds terrible. I know it sounds terrible. We'll get there eventually. But again, the goal right now is just to get started. And that's what we're doing. So anyway, I will very soon stop, jabbering on. And I'll let you listen to my conversation with my good friend Chris. We're not editing, so that's staying in. Chris Wiseman. You may know him as Captain Redbeard. He was on GameStop TV for quite a while, and now he does his own stuff. He streams with his wife, Tiff. They have some really cool things that they do on Twitch. He is obviously on Twitter all the time, interacting and things like that. YouTube, a lot of great stuff going on for him. So. This is a conversation that we had, it must have been maybe a year ago or something. I mean, it was last year sometime. It's been a while. I've been procrastinating on this for a while, guys. So we're kind of dusting some cobwebs off, but that's okay. That's okay. The point is that we're rolling now. Anyway, so yeah, this has been sort of sitting in the back room, so to speak, for a while. So I'm excited to finally have it out there. I think that, there are probably some good things in this that you'll get a lot out of. But again, I haven't listened to it in forever, so let's see. Let me know if you do. Follow me on Twitter, and, I'm Joe King over there. And, follow me. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think of this podcast idea, this episode. Feel free to chime in and say, hey, man, this audio quality is terrible. Whatever. It's fine. A side note too here, I keep beating up on the audio quality, but I'm genuinely honestly fine with it. I really don't care about that. I'm just excited to be, moving, to be going. So, I appreciate everybody out there that sort of tried to, over the past, little while, push me in the right direction, and it has worked finally, and we're going. So, anyway, I hope you guys enjoy this. Follow me on Twitter at Joe King. Follow Chris on Twitter at Redbeard Captain. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
My name is Joe. I'm your host. And today with me is my good friend, Chris Wiseman. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Joe.
Hello. So you are a content creator. You do YouTube, streaming on Twitch, all kinds of different stuff. I'm excited for us to dig into it because I know there are going to be a lot of people out there that want to learn more about that kind of thing. Before we do that, though, how did you get into doing this sort of stuff? Give us a really brief overview, or you know, of what you do and how you got into it.
Sure thing. So I used to do a lot of work with GameStop TV, and that really inspired me to kind of create my own stuff. I mean, when you're representing an organization, or you're on the TV, it's like it's smart to be like, cool, I need to be, you know, multifaceted, I need to have kind of my own brand. And that's kind of what led me to create my YouTube channel. And I, you know, and that's really grown over the years too. And so I started doing YouTube, and it started kind of being sketch comedy, because it was me and a couple guys, a couple of my friends, who would just kind of create these sketches. We did like video game reviews, and then that kind of just evolved over time, just with me doing, you know, GameStop TV. And then I've done, you know, some commercials for YouTube. I've done some commercials for companies like HyperX. I've also been like the host for local conventions and things like that. Basically been like an MC, but just really a good mix of a lot of different things. And currently, obviously, Twitch is the platform of choice for a lot of people. And so I've kind of dabbled with that on and off. Currently kind of on a hiatus, I guess, with Twitch, but I have kind of working on plans on bringing stuff back and kind of reformatting what I want my show to be, kind of what I want to create. Very similar to like, you know, your podcast now, Joe, because this is actually the second time we've recorded it, because you've kind of, it's evolved since since the last time we got together. So that's kind of where I'm at too. So it's really kind of a beautiful irony that we're doing this recording. And at the same time, I'm kind of personally working on changing what I want my format to be as well.
I had to get up and turn my fan on really quick. Yeah, I agree. Like it you know, evolution is such a, it's such a funny thing, because we were talking about that exact thing just before we kind of started here. And yeah, you're right. You know, this podcast, even though by the listeners standard, we're only, you know, like a few episodes in here. But yeah, stuff evolves. And I think that's a really good point that you make about just the evolution of your content, not only the content itself, but how you create it. You know, it's really interesting.
Yeah. You know, you have all these different content creators on YouTube, and you know, YouTube's really changed its algorithm, and it's changed the way that, you know, people can make money, the way that they monetize certain videos. And a lot of times there's not a lot of transparency. A lot of my favorite YouTubers, the ones that are successful, they, you know, they have a really multifaceted kind of business approach, because they can't trust YouTube 100% and ad revenue to just be their complete income. You know, and this, it's funny, because without sounding kind of arrogant or like I had too much foresight, but these are things that I thought about years ago with these YouTubers. And it's like, man, I hope your platform doesn't screw you, because like they can. And there's a lot of different developers and a lot of content creators that are getting screwed. I mean, you have people like that are really outspoken about it. You know, Phil DeFranco, like if he talks about kind of a more serious news topic, and it's not even anything that's like, you know, offensive or anything that like people might see and flag, it's nothing like that. It's just YouTube decides to demonetize his videos if he's talking about a really, you know, like serious subject matter. And that's ridiculous to me. And then you have the other extreme, where you have, you know, video creators or people that do reviews for, you know, video games. You have people like Angry Joe. And, you know, whenever YouTube started like cracking down on using like licensed music and stuff like that, even if you just use like a snippet, like 4 or 5 seconds, you know, all of a sudden, all of his past videos, you know, started getting flagged or started getting demonetized. And then, you know, don't even get me started on trying to cover anything that has to do with Nintendo, because Nintendo just doesn't let you. So it's tricky. It's tricky, especially when you go into it like thinking, cool, I want this to be successful. I want this to be, you know, fiscally returning. I want to be able to maybe make some money from this, and ultimately do this full time. If that's kind of the approach, you got to be super serious about it. And you really have to think about a lot of different angles, because when you don't own your platform, you don't get to make decisions on how that platform is monetized.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a complicated conversation. And yeah, it's one I see too, you know, a lot of content creators and, you know, people like yourself having every day on Twitter and on social media, just the internet in general. It's crazy. It's so complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, so far you have really kind of good vibes with platforms like Twitch, with Mixer, and, you know, even other platforms, such as like, you know, Patreon and stuff like that. Like when Patreon decided to make, you know, sudden changes to like how they're, you know, how patrons can pay, and they were trying to do it for people who have patrons who are creating a Patreon, like to try to benefit them more. But like universally, everyone was like, this is a bad idea. They essentially were trying to increase like how much the minimum of what every person like is required to have to pay. I mean, do you remember this scenario that happened not too long ago? It was like less than a year ago.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I mean, and again, don't get me wrong. I'm sure people will leave comments under this podcast because like, you was totally wrong about that. But the overall idea is they were going to charge more to patrons. So the people who run the Patreons, who have your own Patreon, would get paid out more. No one wanted that because it wasn't a decision that was made between the content creator and their patrons. I do remember that.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned, I do remember this. This was a very big thing.
Yeah. They backpedaled, yeah. Within a week.
Very quickly. I do remember that.
Yeah. So it's really interesting to see newer platforms respond quicker than YouTube, but YouTube is just so big that they can, it's one of those things where it's like YouTube is like Facebook. They can do whatever they want. And, you know, the only thing you can really do is not use it because ultimately, like Facebook on YouTube, like the viewer, the person using the platform, you are their product because they are selling you ad revenue, you know, and they want to know the kind of things you watch and stuff like that. Even deeper with Facebook and stuff like that, I would say.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. As we record this, there's been a lot of talk about Facebook in the past several months, just all kinds of weird stuff going on there. And yeah, it seems like it gets weirder and weirder every day. And
yeah,
I would say the same with like monetization, those kinds of things. It just seems like it gets more and more complicated and crazy all the time.
Have you read, like, this just happened this week, as far as a lot of different people who had bought ad space are now reporting that like Facebook's reporting of it would be artificially inflated by up to 600%.
Crazy.
Yeah, like Facebook is like, oh no, like everyone is watching your entire 10-minute video. Like, yeah, you got a great turnaround. It's like 80%, which of course we all know is bullshit. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, no one, especially when you throw it like targeted ads in the middle of a Facebook video, like it's far and few between that I stick to the video after that happens to me on Facebook.
Sure. I think a lot of people would agree with that. Yeah. Well, so moving right along then. So now that we sort of talked a little bit about how you got started in that and everything. So now, you know, with all these kinds of things going through your head, with monetization, with, you know, getting started, all that kind of stuff. What's a typical, you know, what's your process like now? Like, what's your, you know, if I'm somebody that's looking to put together a workflow for myself for creating content, this kind of thing, like, you know, what do you do? How do you approach that?
The way I've always kind of approached things is I want to be unique. And the problem with things like Twitch and Mixer is everyone can be a streamer. Like, everyone can. So that's kind of the beauty in it. Whereas people are like, cool, this is super easy for me to go have a platform, as opposed to like, you know, being a YouTube creator 10, 15 years ago. You know, it's like, you have to make sure that you have decent cameras, because, you know, you can just buy like a webcam now that's like got 1080 and it costs you like $50 and you're good to go. You can be a streamer with that, with like really minimal stuff. I mean, you could get online with Twitch, probably with things that you already have, but YouTube wasn't that way. So because of that, I'm reminded a lot of the scene that from the first Incredibles movie where Syndrome says something where he says, when everyone's a super, no one is. And I don't mean this to come across terribly nihilistic, but I feel kind of the same way, man. It's like, when everyone is a streamer, like no one special, you know, it's you, there's a couple that are really big, that are really unique, you know, unique. I know Joey, like you work directly with a lot of streamers who have built an audience that really kind of found their niche. They really kind of found their audience. Like it's, and maybe just because I'm getting older, but it's still phenomenal to me. It's mind blowing to me that there are so many people that want to tune in to just watch other people play video games. You know, for me, it's like, that's an experience that I want to personally experience firsthand. Unless it's something like just an online shooter, like a Twitch shooter or something like that. Whereas, you know, I don't really need to know the narrative. I can just enjoy this person playing it, especially if it's something that I'm not going to play ever, like something that I'm just not good at.
Yeah.
I really enjoy kind of watching that. So my approach is always kind of to be creative and do something different that other people don't have. But even that, man, the struggle of looking at building a bigger audience in the face is kind of daunting. And it's something that I've really been struggling with personally lately. You know, because to kind of dig in a little bit deeper, if you don't mind, to kind of talk a little bit about my history, to compare it kind of with where we're at. So, you know, I started when I became, like, air quotes, a content creator was because I was on GameStop TV. And the way that happened was I went from not being known at all, like nothing, to literally almost like overnight, like being on the world's largest closed circuit television programming. So every year GameStop has a manager's conference where they get everyone together, and they were running a contest one year, you know, to have, you know, a representative from the stores be on the GameStop TV. So whenever there's an event like E3 or Comic-Con, they could send that representative, but they were voted in. So it's a very democratic process because, you know, when you're stuck and you're having to watch the same kind of programming all day, every day, people get opinionated and people get tired of it.
You're going to feel like your own personal, you want your own personal ass covered, so to speak, in terms of not getting too bored with this person. I totally get that.
Right. So that was kind of the idea behind doing that. They had done it one time before, and it wasn't terribly successful. You know, it was kind of a close race where, like, these people kind of were voted as far as, like, you know, which personality do you think is the best. And when I ran in this contest, like, I was almost not even going to do it because I'm just not a competitive person by nature, which kind of applies a lot to what I'm, you know, further in the story, kind of what it is. It's like, a lot of times if I'm not certain that it's going to be a surefire thing, a lot of times I don't try. And I know it sounds silly, but I think there's a lot of people like that. And that's just how I am, dude. I get really downtrodden by disappointment and stuff like that. And it's one of those things too, where it's like, I know all of the little, you know, the little catchphrases, the sayings, like, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Well, I took a chance with this, and I had a lot of encouragement from, you know, a lot of my peers and family members. And it's like, you got to do it. You got a big personality. It's going to be great, Chris Wiseman. You're going to go to the stars. You're going to go to the moon.
You're going to be huge, kid.
You're going to be a big deal going to Hollywood.
You're going to be a star.
Right. So I entered this contest, and apparently, like, I won by a landslide. I believe it was something like, it was like 10-1, the votes for me. And so it was kind of like a really cool experience. It was like, I look back on that day where I was like voted in, and it's like, it's one of like the best moments of my life. Of course, it, you know, it comes in second to marrying my wife and all that, you know, good family stuff.
Of course,
it was a really exciting moment. So my career in being like an on-air personality, like I went from like not being known at all to just having this huge platform. Right. So that was extremely unique. And I want to say, like, you know, obviously I was very lucky to be kind of put in that position, while I also kind of made my own luck because I entered the competition to do this. But, you know, what was great is that I was respected by a lot of my peers. A lot of people wanted me to be in this position. And so that happened. So I did that for, you know, a couple of years. Like, I believe like it was like something like 5 to 6 years I did that. But while I was doing this, this is when I kind of created my own YouTube channel, just because like I wanted to be creative, like, you know, on my own. And so even with my YouTube channel and then eventually having a Twitch talk show and things like that, it's never really built the audience of like tens of thousands that I had before. So that's what's really unique about it, right? And that's really kind of what's daunting, is like, man, it's like starting all over, even though I have somewhat of an audience I can kind of take over from people who knew me, you know, I was kind of well known within certain retail circus, like, I guess. So you kind of understand what I'm saying. It's like really unique because it's like with Twitch and with YouTube and stuff like that, you have to kind of build your own audience. And for someone who's, I'm really kind of an outgoing, happy-lucky person. But when it comes to like questions, like I get really serious and I don't know why that is. And that's kind of something too, where I do a lot of self-reflection on what that is. And so I've had a couple different shows on Twitch and stuff like that. And, you know, just, it was a mixture of having vacation, having time off, like a lot of different things happen in my personal life. You know, I kind of put the Twitch shows kind of on the back burner, which I'm going to go back to, here soon. But at the same time, I don't want to feel pressured or forced, because it's not going to be organic or unique if it's not something that I really want to do. Even though I tell myself every day, it's like, man, I really need to get back to this. I really need to get to that. Cause if you're going to have a Twitch show and you're going to have like maybe a YouTube channel, you have to be regular. You have to like create a regular kind of programming. You have to try to adhere to that.
Really important. Consistency is really important.
I mean, look at Ninja, you know, he's like the number one streamer right now on Twitch. And he left for like a couple days to do like a Fortnite event that was like sponsored and he was paid to be there. So he was still streaming, but not necessarily on his own channel. And he lost like hundreds of thousands of viewers because they logged in and he wasn't there. And then it's like unfollow, you know, like that's crazy. It's crazy. It's really weird and full circle how we've gone from having things like television, where before we had DVR, where you had the TV guide and you knew the schedule of when your show came on and you had to have your ass in front of the TV screen for that show. And you had to sit through commercials and you had to sit through these ads. And then we got DVR. We could record things. We could watch shows on demand. We can, you know, we can marathon things. We have Netflix. We don't have to watch commercials or wait for the show to come back on. We can just watch them consecutively because they're streaming. And then you have things like Twitch where people are now tuning in at a certain time to catch their favorite like streamer because that's the time they stream. So it's like Twitch has now become like the new terrestrial TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because people,
speaking of Netflix, what are you watching on Netflix right now?
We're actually, me and my wife are marathoning Lost on Hulu, actually. Oh, cool. Yeah, she had never seen it. And I forgot what brought it up. But I think there was like an actor like on another show. And I was like, oh man, like, you know, we should really marathon Lost. You'd really like it. And so it's really fun to kind of go back and revisit that. Cause I haven't watched it since it first aired, which was, you know, 14 years ago.
I haven't either. And I have to be honest with you. I never forgave them for the ending. I've never been able to forgive them for the ending.
Right. Right. We'll have to wait till Tiff is done marathoning this.
Yeah, I'll be interested to get her thoughts on it for sure and see what she thought.
Well, yeah, and without spoiling too much, and we'll kind of tiptoe around it, but like they were like, we're not doing this. This is not what the plot is going to be. This is not what we're doing. And then they were like, no, we're kidding. We did that. That's what we did.
Yeah, yep. That's what bugged me about it, because there was this theory, you know, around the third season or whatnot of, you know, of the show, and they came out and explicitly said, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not what's happening here. And then when the show ended, that's exactly what happened.
No,
you know, so like I never could figure out, like, did they just not know, or, you know, what was the deal with that?
So, I mean, so for full,
always kind of bugged me.
For full disclosure, if you go back and watch it again, man, they allude to how the show ended in the first season. Like,
really?
Oh, dude, absolutely. There's a scene where Sun is sitting with one of the other characters, and she's like, are we being punished? She's like, do you think we're being punished? And then when you start realizing that, there's a lot of little hints where it's like, oh, this is like a trial for all these people. And it outwardly, like when you know kind of the ending and you watch the show before and you go back and watch it again, it's right there in your face. So I'm enjoying it more.
Maybe I need to revisit and see how things go. Yeah. You know, I'll see what Tiff thought. If Tiff really loved it, maybe that'll inspire me to give it another shot again at some point.
It's an undertaking, man. It's 121 hours of television.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's good though. It is really good overall.
Yeah. So a lot of that, and then, you know, just a lot of other shows. We still haven't started House on Haunted Hill. We just started Castle Rock on Hulu.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Haunting of
Hill House. Yeah. I've seen the reviews and it's great.
I would watch that one as soon as possible because it's really, really good.
Yeah.
And of course, like our listeners don't know, but as we're recording this, it's October. I don't know when this is going to get released, to be honest with you, but, it's October right now. So there's a lot of scary stuff on TV. So, if this does get released fairly soon, then go check that out. It'll probably be on Netflix anyway. You know, they hardly ever take stuff like that off.
Well, it's their own show, so they wouldn't. It's a Netflix original. It'll stay up there for ever.
Probably so, yeah. Well, okay, so probably my favorite part of the show is getting the feedback of the people that I talk to on their advice, the advice they would have for people that might want to do what they're doing or get into the games industry. Because, you know, it's sort of a thing that we haven't really touched on here is how closely married together what you do is to the video game industry overall. And that's the whole reason that we're talking. Well, that and we're really good friends, and I thought you'd be a great guest on the show.
Well, thanks, Boo.
But I mean, you know, but the check's in the mail, right? But yeah, so I think that's an important distinction really quick to make, is that content creation and the video game industry are, to say that they go hand in hand, really doesn't cover it. Like that really isn't like a good enough description of sort of what's happening with content creation vis-a-vis video games. So
right.
For your standpoint, what would your advice be to someone that, you know, maybe they want to create content on YouTube or Twitch, maybe they want to, you know, do something like GameStop TV. You mentioned earlier, and I know that you're a fantastic host. Maybe somebody that wants to get into hosting or just any other facet of the game industry that you've got experience in, what would you say a few things are that you could tell them as advice that they should, you know, they should follow?
Sure. I would say number one, do it because you want to and you enjoy it, and not for an outcome as far as like new followers. Because if all you're seeking is an outcome, then you're not going to have a good time when you're doing it. And it's going to kind of create a point of contention, like, and that may even come across as desperate in your content. Yeah. Right. So, you know, don't get into it expecting that you're going to have hundreds of thousands of followers, even hundreds of followers within even the first couple months, you know, and, or ever, you know, like that's there is very much a chance that it's like, sometimes people just don't resonate with other people. You know what I mean? Like that's not to say that your content isn't any good. It just means that maybe like it just didn't get picked up or people didn't see it. So do it because you love to do it. Do it because you just want to create and you just want to put stuff out there. Secondly, just make stuff, right? It's not the video game industry's job to find a place for you. You know, it's the same with any kind of like work. You know, if you have the experience and you've been doing it, like that's a really good way to leverage maybe a better paying job or maybe something within an industry. I mean, this is something too, like I struggle with all the time. Like I very much would like to be more full time in the video game industry, into doing more like talent stuff. And maybe I just, you know, I haven't because I haven't been making enough stuff myself. Like that's a real honest thing that I have to kind of look back on. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's, you know, take my advice, do as I say, not as I do, because I'm not always great at it, you know, because I also deal with my own insecurities and anxiety. And, you know, I have a family and a full-time job and stuff like that. So streaming and doing things in addition to already working 45 hours a week is a huge challenge. And if I don't feel like doing it, I don't. And that is something that does stand in the way of me building a bigger audience on Twitch, because you have to be, to my next third point, is you have to have a regular schedule. You have to have, you know, a routine, you have to adhere to it. And at the very least, be transparent with your audience or with people that are like, you know, watching your show or watching your stream or watching your YouTube shorts or whatever that you happen to be making, letting them know when maybe you're not going to be streaming, or, you know, if you need to take the day off or whatever the case may be. Like people are generally pretty understanding, but you have to be transparent when it comes to that. So, I mean, I would say those are the first three. And like you said, content creation is something where it's like, it's been a long time coming. Like people have been content creators. Twitch has been around for a long time. And it's one of those things where it happens slowly and then like all at once, right? You've been in the video game industry for a couple of years now. And like when you first got in, like I know for a fact you guys weren't as contacted with content creators or Twitch streamers, because there was no like return of investment. Like no one really understood the ROI until
it's always been hard to quantify it until recently. It's been hard to quantify ROI or return on investment on that kind of thing. And yeah, it's it's finally over the past couple of years beginning to happen, which is really good. But yeah, you know, you're totally right.
Yeah. It's funny because it's been one of those things where it's been frustrating for me, you know, because I've reached out to people before and it's like, hey, this is the answer. Like Twitch is where it's at, you know? And that's also really interesting too, because I have an immense respect of like Twitch streamers and people who do that, because it's a very different kind of skill set than just being an on-air personality, right? I always joke that I'm a better person when I have a camera in front of my place, because I'm just more animated. I'm more on, if you will. And yeah, like my real true kind of personality really kind of exudes and it comes out. I love doing interviews with people, even if they're celebrities that I really look up to. Like I generally don't have a tendency of getting too nervous, because I realize in that position, my job is to make that other person look better. And while right, there's not really like a power struggle there, like I do have more of the impact in leading the interview than the person necessarily that I'm interviewing, right? It's my job to make them look good. And so I've always kind of taken that as a point of pride on being like, cool, this has helped me just eliminate any kind of nervousness in doing that. But then when you're on Twitch, it's like a lot of times it's just you or you and another person, and your audience is immediate. Like they can respond and people are right there, and people can choose to be really shitty too. And that can be pretty impactful, which leads to my fourth point. Don't let shitty people, you know, outweigh the positivity that you get as far as feedback. And that's a really, really hard thing to say. That's easier said than done, is letting the positivity in your life and like letting that positive feedback outweigh the negative comments. Because dude, one person can say one shitty thing and it'll outweigh like 40 nice things that people have said.
Yeah.
And
it's really easy to get bogged down in that.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's really easy to get swept up in it, you know, because a lot of times you start, you know, a lot of people have anxiety. A lot of people have, you know, self-awareness that, you know, it's mental health and things like that. We have much more of a dialogue now that it's 2018 than, you know, we did when you and I were kids. You know, no one talked about that. It was just kind of like, you know, man up, or, you know, just get out there and, you know, whatever, just do it, you know, it's fine. Yeah. Whereas the reality is like, no, this is like, these are real feelings that I have. These are debilitating like feelings. And then when people say negative content, like comments, and there's that context there, it can really, really drag you down. I would say that's like one of the hardest things on getting over, especially when you're starting trying to be a content creator.
Yeah. You know, and something else that kind of, I feel like ties a little bit into that, in a way, kind of. Not so much about negative comments, but another little thing I would throw out here to sort of piggyback off the advice that you've been giving for content creators is be true to yourself and play the games and make the content that you want to make. It's like you said a few minutes ago, if you don't really feel passionate about it and it's not something you want to be doing, that's going to come across in the content, you know? And I actually saw just today on Twitter where a streamer had gotten an email from a viewer, and this viewer in the email was saying, you know, hey, I have trouble connecting with my son, you know, basically. And the fact that you have, on your streams, the fact that you have started playing, games other than the one that we started watching you play has affected that. And I want you to play more of the game that I want you to play, you know? And this guy is just kind of like, what, man? You know, like, that's ridiculous. And I agree. I think that is ridiculous. I think another big piece of advice that I've heard thrown out is be true to yourself and make the content that you want to make. And if people, you know, if you want to play, you know, if you want to play Fortnite and, you know, other people want to see you play COD, then that's, you know, it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about that. You have to play the Fortnite, and if they want to stay for the Fortnite, then cool, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But that was something I thought I'd throw in there. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's funny because like I feel like that's very true. But the inverse side of that is if you're trying to build an audience, you got to go where the views are, you know? So it's like, be true to yourself, you know, within reason, but it's tough, man. See, that's the thing that's so tough about being a content creator and a streamer, because it's like, if I were to just stream, and I don't stream very often, because a lot of times, like when I do stream, a lot of what I do is like a talk show type of format, like kind of like what we have right here, except with cameras. There's so many different subcategories on Twitch that a lot of people don't hit on. And I kind of want to be in that space when it starts to really kind of take off. You know, there's talk shows, there's casual eating, you know, there's Twitch creates. So Tiff and I, my wife and I, we have a show that we're on hiatus right now, but we're going to come back to, and we call it Wiseman Whiskey Watercolor Wednesday, because our last name is Wiseman. And what we do is it's very much kind of like a Bob Ross mixed with those like wine and paint workshops that you can kind of go to, where it's like, this is what we're going to focus on. So we're going to paint this.
It's a great show, by the way, for those of you listening, definitely check it out. It's really good.
And I appreciate that. And, but like, that's definitely probably the best content that we've made. And it was 100% the brainchild of Tiff. Like, she was like, it'd be really fun. Like, she's a fantastic artist. And I'm discovering that over time, I'm getting better, and I'm actually a much better artist than I ever gave myself credit for, because I never tried. I never had a platform. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to sit down and do that. And so we actually get like, you know, quite a bit of views, you know, a couple, sometimes up towards to 100, you know, in an evening. And we're just, you know, going to work on building that up. And then I also have a show that I've been doing called Redbeard Live, which is just like a talk show. And we kind of bounce around different topics between, you know, movies and video games and kind of our idea about it. Now, I honestly think that it hasn't been as structured and it hasn't been as straightforward as I want it to be. And I really, when I bring it back and I may reformat it, I may not even call it Redbeard Live anymore, but I want to do something that's much more a more mature take on video games and like the structure of how they're made and kind of similarities, because I really enjoy that with my experience on talking to developers, also working retail, playing these games and being a huge fan of myself. I kind of have, you know, my fingers in every little kind of pot, and I really kind of want to take that knowledge and kind of take these, you know, comparisons that I can see within the different forms of video games, because video games are very much a really unique form of art, and kind of have like a fun but more of a mature take on it. So that's where I kind of want to be, as opposed to just streaming video games. Now, if I did just stream video games, this is going back to my original point, I love like third person open world like action games or third person open world RPGs. Like, those are my favorites. I really enjoy, you know, third person, you know, platformers as well. Those are just some of my favorite. That being said, like, I love, you know, first person shooters. I love RPGs. You know, the Borderlands series is one of my favorite. You know, being a fan of the Gearbox team for many years.
The Gearbox.
So, you know, I love those games like that. So if I were to stream, it would be like, I would want to play the games I like, right? But how entertaining would that be?
Sure.
Really? You know, because it's like, when I play, I'm just kind of, you know, introverted, I'm quiet, it's me time. So if I were to start streaming games, it would probably be better if I did like vintage games or games that I don't play a lot, games that I'm not good at, just to make it, you know, funnier, to make it more entertaining for the audience. So, you know, on one hand, what you're saying is absolutely true, and I agree wholeheartedly. If you're going to do it, do what you like about it. Don't necessarily just fold to what, you know, everyone wants. But at the same time, Is it good advice to tell people to not listen to their audience? You know, like, I don't know.
No, definitely not. I think my point was, when you have one person that is complaining about something that is completely, you know, counter to what you're doing, that, you know, that's a separate situation. But yeah, I would never advocate that people not listen to their audience. I agree. That's 110%.
I get your point. It'd be like someone hopping in or leaving a comment on your podcast and be like, you guys really needed to talk more about pizza. Like, I'm interested in pizza. So y'all is like, pizza's not even in the title. Like, what are you talking about? So yeah.
Oh, but maybe it should be.
Hey,
now you've got me thinking, huh?
See, like, that's the thing. Like, over time, Redbeard Live evolved to like the most recent incarnation of it. Like, halfway between in the show, it became casual eating, which is a subcategory on Twitch where we would just like order wings or food, and we'd eat and talk about the food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like, I mean, it's because you can. Like, I just thought that was really interesting, and it was something that I wanted to kind of like, you know, try out.
It's crazy. Casual eating. That's a directory I don't really make it into enough now that you mention it, and I'm gonna do my best to change that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try to get into casual eating more often.
There's so many subcategories in Twitch, man, and there's so much room for it to grow. And you know, the same thing with Mixer. Like, I think Mixer is a really solid contender to Twitch. And like, what I really like about both companies is there's no ill will or animosity. Like, they know going into it that it's like, hey, we're kind of competing, you know, streaming services. And like, they each have pros and cons. Like, Mixer is great because there's, the feedback, like as far as comments, happen way faster than they do on Twitch. There's not as much of a delay. So you're not having to like backpedal and be like, what did this person say? Oh, you're referencing something that happened 30 seconds ago, which, mm-hmm. you know, is, it can be a bit of a struggle.
No, absolutely. Well, my friend, I appreciate you. I appreciate this conversation. I appreciate you taking the time today to chat with me.
Well, you're very welcome.
Let everybody know. Let the ones and ones of people that are listening to this, let them know where they can find
you. Well, you can go to Twitter and follow me at Redbeard Captain. I'm the most active on there. And then if you want to go to Twitch, you can go to Redbeard_TV, and that is my channel. And then if you go to Tiff_Toxic, that is Tiff, my wife, where we stream Wiseman Whiskey Watercolor Wednesdays, which should be coming back sooner than later. But she does stream quite a bit, and she's got a Patreon. And so she'd actually be an excellent guest to have on as well, because she is, she does a little bit more than I do currently, I would say.
Believe me, I've considered that, and we'll probably be talking to Tiff sooner than later. I'm sure.
There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, all right, buddy. Have a good rest of your day. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And this has been fun. Hey, you guys, if you have questions or you want to, you know, be involved in the conversation here, you can also follow me on Twitter at Joe King. Sometimes me and Chris actually tweet at each other.
We do, which is
really impressive.
Hey, that was a big part of our
sidelines watching that happen.
That's right. You know, that was a big part of our relationship for a while, man. Because you didn't live locally, so we would just we would talk on the tweets.
Absolutely. I'd rather live locally. It's better getting to see you every now and then in person. I like it better that way. Follow me on Twitter at Joe King. The show, you know, there's a Twitter, but I don't know. Just follow me and I'll get you the details on the show stuff. I'll retweet all that. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for downloading. Go to iTunes and leave a review. 5 stars on this Chris Wiseman guy. He's a fantastic fella. So that'll help us kind of get the word out about the show. Make sure to do that. Any parting thoughts? Chris?
Yeah, man. I just kind of want to touch back on what we were talking about earlier. If you're going to create content, do it because you want to do it. Do it because it's fun. Do what you love, and you know, do it without expecting, you know, having 8,000 followers right away. Because when you're genuine and you just love to kind of create, people gravitate towards that, and that's really how you build an audience.
Definitely agree. Great way to end it. Thank you again, buddy. I really appreciate it. I love you, man.
Love you too, buddy.
All right. Hey, love you guys too. Thank you for downloading. All right. Have a good one. Take care of yourselves.